you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can catch us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us on your radio dial at Heaven 97 KHVN in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, or you can get us streaming live on the internet on our website at true-church.org. It is a blessing and a privilege to be here with you this Sunday morning, this Father's Day, a day that we as a nation recognize fathers. And we just, I just want to give a good shout out to all the fathers out there, all the fathers that are persevering and that are trying their best to do what is right and are trying to be the best father they can be. I just thank God for you. I thank God for your support of A True Church Perspective. I get a lot of emails from fathers and men, and I've always judged ministries by how it attracts men and what kind of men are attracted by the ministry. And I just thank God that we have good quality men that support EX Ministries as well as True Church Perspective. Good quality men that are trying their best. You know, no one's perfect. We're all trying and striving to be the best that we can be and do the best that we can do. There are obstacles and we have a lot of things, a lot of times that, you know, a lot of people take for granted, especially when it comes to fathers. You just don't hear a lot or big to-dos made about fathers in this nation. It's always about the mothers, which, you know, I'm not taking anything away from you mothers out there, but this is Father's Day, and we need to recognize that there are fathers. All men aren't deadbeat. All men aren't jive, and all men aren't, you know, trying to run away from their responsibility. But there are some men that are upstanding, that are upholding their households, that are taking care of their wives and their children. There are men that are standing up and not bowing down. There are men that are not down low and homosexual. There are men that are pleasing unto God and are a breath of fresh air to him and a sweet smell to him. There are men that are being good men and trying their best to do what is right. And I just thank God for all of you out there. You don't get enough accolades since we have had this big overturn in the church and we have all these homosexual bishops and preachers and these big, you know, big time sissy preachers and different things. We just don't hear a lot about good upstanding men. It's hard to even see that when your leader is, you know, homosexual. But I just thank God that there are men that will follow God no matter what. They will not bow down to Baal. They won't compromise, and they want to do what is right. They want to try their best to do what is right. We want to kind of gear our message today toward the men. I really want to speak to men out there because there are a lot of men that struggle. You know, I struggle with a lot of things from my past and things from my father and different things. And a lot of men out there, you know, I understand where you are. I had an opportunity to speak at a youth prison one time, and I spoke to several young men in this prison. And these young men, when you look at them and when you talk to them, I remember asking them a question. I said, how many of you know who your father is? And they all raised their hand. And I said, well, how many of you want to be like your father? Not one young man raised his hand in the place. And then when I asked him, well, how many of you, your father was in jail like you are now. And they were hesitant, but they began to raise their hands. And I said, well, you know, the very thing that is hurting you, the fact that your father could not be there for you and couldn't take care of your mom, or chose not to take care of your mom and ended up in prison and got your mom pregnant. I said, how many of you have gotten a girl pregnant? And they all raised their hand. And I said, well, don't you see the very thing you're upset about, the very thing you're mad about, you're doing again? And they begin to cry and, you know, be saddened by it. But it is very easy. It is very easy for us to be angry and wrath to set in our hearts at what others have done. But wrath always reproduces whatever it was that made you wrathful. You know, it's just like revenge. When you get revenge on somebody, you're pretty much doing to them what they did to you. And it just creates a cycle. And so that is why we cannot harbor wrathful feelings or hatred toward one another. And even when it comes to our fathers or different things that were done to us or different things that weren't done to us, and we have resentment in our heart, don't you know that that will give birth to the same thing that has upset you? You'll end up just like these young men in this prison. You'll end up being in the same position your father was in. And I want you men to hear this. I want you to understand that you are not responsible for what was done to you. You're not responsible for what was done before you. You're only responsible for what you do. And I want to make that abundantly clear in this message today, that you have an opportunity to do things the right way. You can be motivated a lot of times by the things that your father may have done wrong. And nobody's perfect. Some of our fathers tried the best they could and worked with what they had. And a lot of them, their upbringing wasn't that great. A lot of them didn't have mentors and leaders to lead them and teach them. So they just kind of bumped their heads and did what they could. But you're not responsible for their shortcomings. You're not responsible for that. You have every opportunity to do things differently, do things the way God desires for them to be done, and you can make a difference just by choosing to do things God's way. I want you to understand that, because a lot of times we hear, you know, that the sins of the father, like it said in Ezekiel, the sins of the father will revisit the children. So we automatically assume that whatever daddy did, I'm going to have to do. No, the sins of the father will revisit you, but you don't have to entertain it when it revisits you. And even if you do entertain it, you can break it and stop it. You can always break any curse that has come. Generational curses are nothing for the power of God. Generational curses are nothing for the blood of Jesus to reverse. You can reverse any curse as long as you are in Christ. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel and let's read a passage that pretty much states what it is that I'm trying to say on this broadcast. And we're going to dig just a little deeper into this. So let's go. Ezekiel 18 and 14 says, now behold, he has a son who has observed all his father's sins, which he committed, and observing does not do likewise. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or lift up his eyes to idols in the house of Israel, or defile his neighbor's wife, or oppress anyone, or retain a pledge, or commit robbery. But he gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing. He keeps his hand from the poor, does not take interest or increase, but executes my ordinance and walks in my statutes. He will not die for his father's iniquity. He will surely live. As for his father, because he has practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among the people, behold, he will die for his iniquity. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity? When the son has practiced justice and righteousness and has observed all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The person whose sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. This is very powerful, y'all. This scripture is telling it all. It's letting us know that the sins that were committed, whoever's committing the sin will be responsible for the sin. And God is saying that the son is not responsible for the sin if he chooses to do things the right way. So it's saying that the father did not honor God, so the father will die in his sins. But the son that honored God or chose God, and we know in our dispensation of Christ, we can say it like the one who did not choose Christ, or who did not choose to follow what Christ wanted, that person will be the one that will not be blessed. But the one who follows Christ, he chooses Christ, he can be saved. And so we are reading this, and this is very powerful because it is letting us know that you, son, are not responsible for the sins of your father. You're not responsible for all the mistakes. And sure, the mistakes a lot of times that your father made, you have to pay for them in the natural because there are consequences to sin. But spiritually, any curse, anything that came from him, you're not responsible for. This scripture is letting us know God is not going to put it on you. You're not going to have to pay the penalty for what your father has done. You're only responsible for what it is you do. Let me go to 3 points real quick that I want to make before we end this broadcast, because I believe it's very important that we grab hold to this and get a good understanding of this. As we go about our daily lives as men and as fathers, you know, we get tempted to do the wrong thing. We get tempted to give up a lot of times. Our financial struggles can be so great. Sometimes our health can be bad, or just all kinds of different things that's going on, and it weakens our fight sometimes, and it makes us want to give in, and it makes us want to say, you know what, it's not even worth it. But I want you to know, Father, you're not just working for you. You're not just fighting for you. You're not just doing this, but because God has made you the head of the family, because you are the head of the house, you're doing it for your family's salvation. You're doing it for your family's sake. You're the one that's going to bring your family to the knowledge of Christ so that they can be upstanding. You're the one that, you know, are putting that stamp of approval and affirmation on your wife and your children. You're the covering for your wife, meaning you cover her. She's a weaker vessel, so you cover her with your strength, and you stand up for her, and you are the one that gives her affirmation. You are affirm and approve of your wife. You affirm and approve of your children. Your children don't have to struggle with low self-esteem and low self-worth when the father stands up for them, and when the father covers them with his confidence and his strength. That is why it is so important for us to realize our role as a man. It's important for you to realize your role as a father. You're the one that set the example. And understand this, Father, you don't want to make it harder on your children than it already is. You don't want to make it harder on your wife than it already is. So you don't want to add to their hardships. You want to be there. You want to be the one to ease hardships. You want to be the one to make it better. And I'm not just talking about money. People without money can be happy. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to have a lot of money to be happy. I remember, you know, when me and my wife first started out and we were living in a one bedroom apartment with two kids, and we had good times. We were happy. It wasn't the money that had anything to do with our relationship. You know, you just learn to be content and wait on God. You learn to work and be diligent and just do things better. So I got news for you. You may feel like I have to have money to be happy, and you're following these prosperity messages, the wrong prosperity messages that are making it look like God is mad at you because you don't have money. That is not true. That's not true at all. Yeah, money makes us feel better, but you can be happy without a whole lot of money. So I just wanted to make sure I stated that. Don't be fooled by the messages and the different ones that are trying to make you feel bad because you don't have a certain amount of money. No, you can be happy. And fathers, you can stand strong in your home and be good examples for your children and your family without a whole lot of money. But let me go through these three things real quick, because I want to really encourage you, fathers. I really want you to hear these things so you can understand the depths of this passage in Ezekiel, so it will make you understand what God is saying. You are not your father. That's the first thing you must realize. Now, we can mark the steps of a good man. A lot of us, our fathers were good men, or they did great things that we learned from, and that is wonderful. We can walk in their light. We can walk in their path. They can make it easier for us, and that's wonderful. Sometimes we want to look like them and walk and talk like them. There's nothing wrong with that. If they're good men, there is nothing wrong with that. But the bottom line is, you are not that man. You are your own individual man. And though you learn from your father, though you may have been hurt by your father, whatever the situation is, you are not your father. You are you. If your father did not do well, you respect and honor the fact that he gave you life and accept the good he did, but you do not have to pay the consequences of your father's sin because you are not your father. Now, in the natural, a lot of times we have to deal with things our fathers did, but in the spirit realm, you do not have to carry a curse from your father. You can cast that thing away. You can break that curse. You can break all the bondage, anything that your father was into, and you can start new. You are not your father. Remember that. Remember that when times get tough and those reflexes come where you want to do things and answer things like your father may have, or like you may have had a bad example growing up and you want to just revert to those things. Remember this. You are not him. You can make a total change in the way things are. You can stand up and be counted as different anytime you choose, because if we are in Christ, then we can be made brand new. So that was the first thing I wanted to deal with. The second thing, you must choose God's plan for you. You must not live in the plan that was chosen for you by a man or a woman or whoever, your mother or your father. Listen to me, Father. Only God can choose the plan for your life. So you must choose God so you can choose his plan, because his plan is going to work for you. You know, there's a lot of things your father may want from you. There's a lot of things your mother may want you to do. Some of you, there are pivotal moments in your life where you feel like God is leading you here or God is leading you there, and there are things you want to do. And a lot of times, mothers and fathers, for the sake of not wanting you to leave them or not wanting you to go too far, or veer too far from their authority or whatever, you want to hang around and do what they say instead of what God says. Listen to me. You must choose God's plan for you. God has a unique plan for you, but you must shake the sins of your father to accomplish this and be a true man for your wife and children. You must shake the authority of your father. When you become a man, you got to shake that and move on, especially when you are married. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So you got to break those ties. You can't be bound by what your father's opinion or your mother's opinion of you are. You can't be bound by the sins or the curse from your father or your mother or however you may have grown up. And listen, this is not just to negative situations. Sometimes you were raised up in a great home and your father was an upstanding man and he was strong and he was wise. But when it's time for you to be a man, you have to say, look, Dad, I love what you've done for me, but now I have to do what my father God is telling me to do. Now I have to be about my father's business. So you can't butt in when it comes to me and my wife. You can't tell me how to run my house. You can't, you know, we have to learn these things because we are responsible for us. Now, if you're going to just do what somebody is telling you all the time and you're going to let your mom scare your wife off and talk crazy to your children, you're going to let your dad, you know, when you grow up, I mean, you're not leaving and cleaving unto them. So you are bringing in other people's opinions and they are changing and hurting your household. So if you don't want to be responsible for what your father did or mother did, then you have to do what God is telling you to do. So choose God's plan for you at all costs, men. Listen to me. Choose God's plan. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about being disrespectful to your mother or your father at all. I'm not talking about not honoring their opinion if they have good advice and wise counsel. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about messy situations where you are allowing other people and outside sources to run your house. You can't do that, man. You stay there. You be strong. You stand up and you be responsible for the actions that you choose, because God has given you a plan. It is God's plan that you must fulfill. And the third and final thing I want to talk about right now is being a new creation. Now, this is very powerful. God has given you opportunity to start fresh and new. So if you came up the wrong way, if you came up homeless, if you were adopted, if you were abandoned, if you were beaten, if you were abused, sexually abused, if you were misguided, if you were thrown away, if your father was not there, if your parents were divorced, if you grew up in a single parent home, if you never knew who your father was, listen to me. The Bible says that if any man be in in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. So you are a new creation. Whether it runs in your family, or all the men in your family were corrupt, all of them abandoned their wives, all of them had bastard children, you don't have to be subject in any way to the sins of your father if you are a new creation. That is the beauty of Christ. You can choose Buddha, you can choose Islam, you can choose all these other religions, but Christ is the only one that can make you brand new and give you a fresh start. He can give you a brand new start. That means that he took your curse. He took the family curse. He took the generational curse. He took the deadbeat dad curse. He took the crazy drunken dad curse. He took the no good wayward dad curse. He took the adulterous dad curse. He took all those curses on the cross with him, and he died for your sins to make you brand new so you don't have to be subject to any curse. This goes for anything, including cancer and diabetes and all these diseases. Maybe your dad died from them. Maybe they say it runs in your family, so it puts you at a high risk. You know, the only thing that really makes it high risk for you is repeating the cycle that was before you, doing the things that was before you. That's what the high risk is all about. But if you're a new creation, a new creature, you're not subject to any curse, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a disease, whether it's a behavior, whether it's a mindset, whether it's a thought process, you are not subject to it, but you are free by the blood of Jesus. He has made you a new creation. Old things are passed away. You can be brand new. So all you have to do is understand what this passage is telling you, that you are a new creation. Listen to this. Old things are passed away. What you've done and what your father did is gone forever. So even in your past and your father, those sins you're not even accountable for. God has removed them from you. Now listen to me, please. Things we do in the natural a lot of times cause consequences. There are consequences in the natural to some of the things that we do, and we must realize that. But as far as a curse following you, as far as a sin taking you down and destroying you, listen, you can get it right with Christ. You can get it right. We have an advocate with the Father who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it takes more than an apology. It takes repentance, which means to change, to turn, and to say, you know what? I'm going to do my best to not go back to this thing. I want to walk in deliverance. And deliverance is a daily process. Deliverance isn't a state that you're in. It is a state of mind that you walk in, meaning that I'm delivered. I don't have to do those things. I'm not subject to those things because Christ has set me free. All things are new. I have a fresh start, a new start, a brand new opportunity to do things the right way. Listen to what I'm saying. No matter what your father did, no matter what was done before you, you have the unique opportunity in Christ to do things differently. You can change history. You can change the future. I remember that movie Back to the Future. Christ did something in the past that changes your future. And if you accept him, your whole future can be changed, and you can be made new and make better decisions, and you can start a wonderful brand new legacy and inheritance. That's the beauty of it. So your son will be sitting up saying, you know, my dad did things like this, and I'm so glad he did, because it gives me the opportunity for things to be a little easier on me, and I want to choose the God that my father served. And you know, you can make things totally different. Your wife can have confidence in you and say, you know what, I know his father may have been like this, or his uncles and everybody was like this, but there's something different about the man I married. He's different. Why is that? Because he's making changes. He's making decisions, not based on what was done before him, not based on all the bad and the curse and all that. No, making decisions to make things better for his family. Let's go back to Ezekiel real quick as I wrap this up and bring this to a close. Ezekiel 18, the rest of that passage starting at 21 says, but if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. all his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Listen to this. This is very important. 18 and 23 says, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? Do you understand what God is saying? God is saying, I don't have any pleasure of the death of the wicked. He did not create us to die in our sins. He's saying, I did not create man for that. I don't have pleasure in destroying the wicked and punishing the wicked and the wicked dying in their sins. He said, no way. Y'all know if God felt like that, he would have never sent his son Jesus to die for us. No, God wants you to live. He wants you better. He wants your situation better. He wants you to show him in the earth. He wants you to live according to his statutes and his promises. He wants you to reap the benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. He forgives all of my sins and he heals all of our diseases. What he's saying is, he's saying, I did not bring you here for you to die. I did not create you for you to die in your sins and be wicked. He said, I don't have any pleasure in that, but I have pleasure in those that turn from his wicked ways and choose life. He said, I want you to live. So turn from your wicked ways so that you can live. Accept Christ, be in Christ, so you can live. Listen to this, y'all. Making mistakes, overcoming curses and obstacles, and fighting temptation are all a part of the fight. Listen, that doesn't mean it's time to give up when you have obstacles, when you have trouble, when you have turmoil, even when you fall into sin as a believer, when you make a mistake, when you do things that you know you shouldn't have done and you feel bad and you feel ashamed. That is no time to quit. You can't quit on God, because then you trivialize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are basically saying, God, I know you sent your son to die, but that's just not enough. That can't fix this. No, God is saying that is the time when you pick your sword up and you begin to fight. You have to do battle in this thing, y'all. This is a fight, and it's a fight of faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty unto God. We fight in the spirit. You have to fight for that deliverance. You have to fight for that way out. You have to fight to stand in this evil day. And having done all to stand, you must stand with the whole armor of God on, and you must take the sword of the spirit. You must know what the word says to do that. But to do real battle, you got to fight. Listen, people. So making mistakes is a part of the process. You're not going to do everything right. You're going to fall into sin sometimes, but you got to get yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, I'm not going to practice sin. I'm not going to create a lifestyle of this, because I don't want this to be a legacy for my children. Come on, man. Come on, fathers. I don't want my sons to be influenced by what I've done. And we know your children will have their own opportunity to choose, but you can actually make it harder on them by doing the wrong thing now. So listen, you can overcome those sins and mistakes. You can overcome all curses and obstacles. You can fight temptation, men. You can stand up for what is right and do what is right, but it's gonna take a fight. It's not gonna come easy, but it is worth the fight, so that your wife, your children, your family, your legacy can be protected, and you can create a godly lineage with your last name on it. That changes everything. Your father may have struggled to do that and couldn't do it. Your uncles may have struggled to do that and couldn't do it, but you have the unique opportunity right now, men. You have that opportunity to be a new creation, do things different, and do things the right way, so your children, your wife, your family can experience God and can take it on in the legacy that is created and formed after you. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for this word you've given for the fathers of this nation, God, for the fathers outside of this nation. And men, God, there are men that are struggling, Lord. They're struggling to do what is right, but they've had bad examples in their lives. God, a lot of them are rehashing and reliving the sins of their father. A lot of them are in cycles from their father and their father's father. God, a lot of them just don't understand how to break free
free in their minds and in their hearts. But Father, you have made a way for us to break free. You said if any of us be in Christ, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, we can be made new creations, God, and old things can be passed away. You said, cursed is he that hangeth on the tree. And Jesus took all of our sins and curses with him. So we don't have to be subject. You said that only those that sin are subject to the sin, but those that practice righteousness are subject to righteousness. So God, we are responsible for ourselves. We receive that word. We're responsible for our own actions. And God, we don't have to have outside interferences influencing us to do the wrong thing. But Father, we want your Spirit within us to help us to do the right thing. And God, we're going to fight this fight. It doesn't matter what has happened, God. It doesn't matter what has happened in our past with our fathers, with the men around us. God, some of us may not even know our fathers, but God, we know you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being wonderful to us and giving us an opportunity to come to you and be made brand new. In Jesus' name we pray.
And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.